If you would, Revelation chapter 19. And as I mentioned, we'll be talking about the church. And I believe the church began, as we read in Matthew 19:18, where he begins his church upon himself, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. But if you would, the book of Revelation chapter 19, we'll begin reading at verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of the brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worthy I worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come this day once again here in this way, we thank, Lord, of the future, and Lord, we put it into your hands. But as for today, Lord, we ask your blessings upon those of our number who have different issues in their life. Be with those who are on the front line, who are helping with those who have contracted the virus. Lord, we just ask that you would be with those who are helping and those who are ill. Lord, we ask now your will would be done this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. As I mentioned, the title for this morning is Those That Have the Testimony of Jesus. Testimony or witness. Have you ever been called to be a witness? Have you ever witnessed an automobile accident? Have you ever witnessed something and you had to give evidence in a court of law or give something to as a witness? Well, as believers, we have a testimony for the cause of Christ, and we are to be a witness. There is this thought that at the heart of prophecy is the person of Jesus Christ. He is the key to its understanding, as in the book of Revelation. And the purpose of the church is to evangelize the world. Each member of the body of Christ has a responsibility to share the gospel. And the fact of the matter is, Christianity should be growing from within and also from without. And the fact that we see our children come to know the Lord as Savior, and our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren, generation after generation. Unfortunately, this is not always happening. But we need to be a testimony. If you would, the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin reading at verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5, and it is so good to know that the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church. Those who are teaching the word of God according to the scriptures. Not man's theories, not man's idea of how one would get to heaven, but through the scriptures. And we begin reading at verse number 19, Ephesians chapter 5. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Houses and homes. Some have beautiful homes, but Some have beautiful houses, but the home life is ugly and repulsive. In our me-first society, it is often all about me, myself, and I. And it leads to disruption. It leads to where home life or house, those who live in houses, are not necessarily really a home. The wedding ceremony is a picture of the relationship between Christ and the bridegroom, as the bridegroom, and his bride, the church. So Christ is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. The bride in white is a picture of purity. I read this the other day. It says that purity is looked upon today as a worthless paper cup versus a fine china cup. May I say this, purity is special to the Lord. He expects us to live pure lives, godly lives, moral lives. This is free. Sexuality was God's gift to the husband and the wife as a marriage gift. Sexuality outside of marriage is like shoplifting or robbery. There is a place for it. And then I know in today's society, we say, well, that's old school. Well, the Bible definitely is for all generations. And it has over and over and over again told us to refrain from fornication and adultery. Our Lord and Savior Jesus is described, I believe, in 1 Corinthians 13. And I believe if we put it with the bride, we see that he puts the bride first. He was willing to die for the bride. I've often said this, men, if your wife ever asks you, would you die for me? Don't hesitate. Quickly say, yes, and I'd be glad to do it twice. To have a good home life, the married couple must be in a good relationship with the Lord. The married couple. The well-known preacher Charles Spurgeon commenting on Hebrews 13:2, which says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. He writes, angels might be asked to stay with us, and they would not find themselves out of their element. Wouldn't that be nice if angels felt right at home at your house? Unfortunately, in many homes, instead of angels being guests, it seems that demons are the guests. There's a constant battle of wills, of wants, of demands versus desiring to put others first. May I encourage you that are married to have in your life a desire to serve the Lord and to love your mate and to put them first. So we find in verse 19 of Ephesians 5, this thought that we are to be joyful. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes that we need to sing songs and make melody in our hearts as to the Lord. Do you sing songs to the Lord through the day? Do you whistle or hum songs? May I say this? I would encourage you to listen to good music, because good music is a blessing to the mind, the soul, and the home. Not like so much of today's trash. Today's music, which is anything but godly. Note the last phrase of the verse, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's not about feeding the flesh, but honoring the Lord of glory. The music that we desire should be something that He would be willing to listen to. Christian music is to praise God. It is the focal point. Too much of today's worship is about human feelings and not about honoring our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Joyful. In verse 20, we find that we are to be thankful, giving thanks always for all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God," or excuse me, "the will of Jesus Christ concerning you." I will admit, I'm having a hard time right now giving thanks to God for our current events. I am very concerned about what is going to be happening with worship in our houses of worship soon. Getting information as to what churches should do and what we should expect. The uncertainty of the future. You know, now it's going to be through May the 15th, I believe, the day before Mother's Day. The fact of the matter is, what does the future hold? Friday, my wife and I were talking, and I mentioned to her about the fear factor. How long will it last, this fear of going out and being in public? And some have asked, well, what happens if the restaurants are open? Would you go? What happens when the church houses are open? Will you go? What is the future? But may I say this, there are many things for which to be thankful. We're thankful for the scriptures. The word of God is special, and we should be thankful for them. We should be thankful for godly music. We should be thankful for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. We should be thankful for good friends, for family members. And the list goes on. And on. Dr. David Sorensen writes, "If there is a besetting sin amongst Christian people, it is a lack of thanks to God for His manifold blessings," unquote. If good music in the home is a blessing, thankfulness is a necessity. Marriage counselors tell us that taking each other for granted is one of the chief causes of marital disharmony and problems. How often do you say thank you? Donna and I try to say thank you regularly. Now, note I said try. How often does your mate do something for you and you take it for granted? How often do we do something for someone and it's like, well, okay. Well, thanks is a kind word, and it ought to be something that we give regularly. And we need to thank the Lord for all He does for us. And may I say this, if you ask the Lord for something and He answers your prayer, make sure you thank Him. Let me give you an example. You're at somebody's home, and you're driving to your home after maybe getting together for dinner or for a picnic, and it's raining and it's dark, and you say to the Lord, "Lord, please guide us home, get us home safely." And you pull into the garage. Do you remember to say thank you, Lord? Because you asked Him for safety and He has provided it. So we need to thank Him. Warren Wiersbe writes, "Being thankful to God for each other is a secret of a happy home, and it is the Holy Spirit who gives us the grace of thankfulness." unquote. May I say this? Do you remember the commercials, and maybe they're still on, that say when it coming or trying to quit smoking, never quit trying? Well, I say never stop trying to be thankful for your mate, for your parents, for your children, for your family, for your friends, etc. Be thankful. How does a grateful heart promote harmony in the home? For one thing, the grateful person realizes that he is enriched because of others, which is a mark of humility. We should be thankful for the church. You ought to be thankful that God is willing to use you in the church, to use you as a testimony, to use you as a witness. You should be thankful that you are usable and that God wants to use you. The one who thinks that the world owes him a living is never thankful for anything. We see this so much in today's socialist thinking. From the cradle to the grave, I deserve it. Well, the fact of the matter is, the Lord expects us to work and to do what is necessary to provide for our families. The thankful heart acknowledges God as the giver of every good and perfect gift. We have then the thoughts that are found in verses 21 through 25. Submission. People struggle with the word submission. If you look it up in the thesaurus, submission means to surrender. Oh, we don't like to surrender our will. We want to be in charge. It means obedience. Boy, people struggle with being obedient. Notice at every stop sign, people struggle with being obedient. Compliance. We don't like it when we have to be in compliance. And then finally, it means yielding yourselves. Yielding yourselves. May I say this, that if you're to watch the Daytona 500, everybody has to go in the same direction. And it's interesting, nobody squabbles about it. They all go in the same direction. They are submissive to the rules of that race course, going in one direction. If people didn't drive properly on the roads, we'd have chaos. And we need to be submissive. Well, may I say this? Our Lord, the creator of the universe, has a plan for what will make a happy life, a happy home, a happy believer. May I say this, that Lucifer fell because he would not be submissive. Why did Eve eat the forbidden fruit? She would not be submissive. Why did Adam fall into sin? Because he was submissive to his wife and not to his creator God. Why did God not accept Cain's sacrifice? Because he would not be submissive to the wishes of the Almighty. Why did Samson end up blind and working like a beast of burden? Because he was submissive to the flesh and not the Lord Jehovah. Why did Jonah end up at the bottom of the sea in the belly of a great fish? Because he would not do the will of God. To be submissive sometimes is very difficult, and sometimes we're going to struggle with it. But may I encourage you to realize that God desires a submissive heart, a humble heart. Why are so many unhappy homes in our world today? Because we are not willing to be submissive to the plan of the Lord. Children are to be obedient to their parents. They need to be taught obedience from day one. Now you say, well, they're brand new baby. I understand, but as they grow older, they need to realize that mother and father are in control and they are the ones in charge. Wives, the Bible tells us, are to be in submission to their husbands. Husbands are to be in submission to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wiersbe writes, when the Christian wife submits herself to Christ and lets him, Christ, be the Lord of her life, she will have no difficulty submitting to her husband. This does not mean that she becomes a slave. For the husband is also to submit to Christ. If both are living under the lordship of Christ, there can be only harmony in the home. He continues, most of the conflicts I have dealt with as a pastor when dealing with marital issues have stemmed from the failure of the husband and or wife to submit to Christ. Unquote. Verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, working as a couple, walking together, serving the Lord. The church is to be submissive to the Savior, following his command to take the gospel into all the world. Verse 25a says, husbands, love your wives. This is not an option. It is the plan of our Creator. The Bible says in Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Shall leave, shall cleave, and shall be one flesh. We find here severance. They leave mother and father to go to the one they're going to love. There's permanence. They shall cleave, or he shall cleave to her, and they shall be one flesh. That is unity. It's God's plan. I realize that today's world doesn't want to follow God's plan, and that's why we live in such an unhappy world, because there is a lack of submission. The marriage ceremony is to show the unity of Christ and his bride, the church. Divorce was not part of the original plan. It was given because of the hardness of the hearts of people. But the fact of the matter is, unity is possible. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Matthew 19:6. Verse 25b says, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ loves the church. Many things have come out of the church, but he died for the church. He expects us to love the church also. And when you love something, you want to be part of it. The Christian home is an illustration of the relationship between Christ and his church. And may I say this, not all houses of worship are what he died for, but only for those who are following the teachings of the Word of God. Verses 26 and 27, we find sanctifying love. The word sanctifying means to set apart. In the marriage ceremony, the husband is set apart to belong to the wife, and the wife is set apart to belong to the husband. My wife and I believe, Donna, will be celebrating 47 years this coming June. That's a long time to be married. She's been a Madonna longer than she was a Derringe, though if you were to look up her Facebook, I believe it is Donna Derringe Madonna. But she's been a Madonna for a long time. And the fact of the matter is, we have been together, we have walked together as husband and wife. We have been set apart. My wife is not going to share me with someone else. And that's important. Oh, by the way, I'm not going to share her with somebody else either. Any interference with this God-given arrangement is sin. The church today is not perfect. It's never been perfect. It has spots and wrinkles. The spots are caused by defilement on the outside. There is a constant clamor to bring the world into the church so that we can win some. Well, we are never told to act like the world to win the world. We are told to be separate. We are to come out from amongst them. We are to have a testimony that is honoring to our Lord. Wrinkles are caused by decay on the inside. When people stop loving, when they become cold in their worship, we need to be vibrant. We need to realize that we are worshiping Almighty God. We are worshiping our Lord and Savior. What a privilege and honor that is. It's not to be boring. It's not to be, oh, I got to do that again. It's, I want to do that again. James 1:27 says, keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Sometimes this is hard. The other day, as our governor encourages us to wear masks in public, I went to the Kroger to get something that Donna needed. And you know how it is. You wander around the store and you get a few of this and a few of that. And as I walked around, being a nosy person that I am, I began to observe that everyone was wearing a mask. Until I saw one person. And you could tell he was uncomfortable because everybody was looking at him like, why aren't you wearing your mask? This morning as I was getting gas, I was there at my pump minding my own business. And what did I see other people doing? Wearing masks. It's what has been asked. Well, the fact of the matter is our Lord wants us to wear his armor in the battle for right. He wants us to follow him and not to be spotted by the world. May I encourage you, in this day in which we live, remain faithful to the Lord day and night. In conclusion, I have three verses that I would like to read. The first is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Now, I've had people say that maybe one of the reasons that we are going through this is because the church has become cold. It has taken its eyes off the Lord. And he has said, well, if you're not going to want to come to church, I'll make it so you can't. Well, I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know this, that we should be anxious to get back to church and to be able to act as a church and to fellowship as a church together. John 3:37 says, he that believeth on the Son, or Jesus, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God has provided a way of salvation to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, and that is Jesus Christ who has died for us. In Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, one of the things about having this type of worship service is I'm not really sure who is watching, and I'm not sure what your spiritual condition is. But may I encourage you that if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, to look into the Word of God, to read the Scriptures, especially the Gospels, and find that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save sinners because he realizes that spiritually we are dead in sins and that his desire is that you will come to know him as your Savior, that he has paid the price for your sins. But you must be willing to accept the gift. You must be willing to believe on him and to ask him to be your Savior. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the thoughts from the book of Ephesians, that as husbands and wives, we are to care for each other and to love each other and to walk together, that we're to sing songs of praise, that we are to be thankful, and that, Lord, one day the church will be presented to Christ in a glorious, magnificent way. Thank you, Lord, for your love. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.